Now, I'm certain that everything in your church is done according to the revelation of the mystery. What's that? You've never heard of the revelation of the mystery? Even though the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 25 tells us that we are to preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? Well, certainly you're operating according to the dispensation of the grace of God. No, you've not heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, even though Paul explains it to us in Ephesians chapter 3. You need to know about these things, and that's going to be the subject material of this The Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
And a wonderful Sunday to each and every one of you. Glad to have you along today. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, there at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton. We're just south of the Convention Center, right across the street from the Singular Wireless store. We meet in the AFL-CWA Union Hall building. There's free parking off-street right next door. And we meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m., that for Bible teaching, at 11 o'clock for a preaching service, and again Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Currently, we are in the book of Titus. We're into chapter 2, a verse-by-verse study, which you will also find posted on our internet website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you are going to find an amazing amount of material for you to download. And you can put that on your MP3 player, or you can stream it via Real Player to your computer at home and listen that way. I get emails, I get letters all the time thanking me. Well, don't thank me, thank the Lord. But there is amazing amounts of material on the website, and it grows each and every week. Everything that we do is put on that website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, and you can also benefit from the teachings that are there. You need to know that there are verse-by-verse studies of a number of books in the Bible and all kinds of different subject matters that you can look at. And there's also opportunity for you to attend the services and Wednesday night Bible study of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, that via the internet. Go to the audio page on the website and follow the instructions. You can join us in our Pal Talk chat room and listen to the live Bible study via the internet. Isn't that a neat thing? We're just about ready to get started in our study, so make sure you don't go anywhere. Turn up the radio and rip the knobs off.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus.
Now, when most people read in their Bible and they see the word Jew, they know immediately, I'm not a Jew, so they don't try to put themselves in that position, but they read the word Israel, and a lot of people think that they are Israel, either spiritual or replacement, physical, literal, whatever it might be. But whenever somebody reads the word Gentile, well, they're always going to put themselves into that position saying, I'm a Gentile. I can be that as long as it's the good Gentiles. I don't want to be the Philistines or the Canaanites, the bad guys. As long as it's the good Gentiles, that must apply to me. God must be speaking directly to me. But what most people fail to realize is there's two things going on in their Bible. One is prophecy, the prophecy program, and that the mystery program, something which most churches do not recognize. They do not preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. We go to Ephesians chapter 3:1 and find that the dispensation of the grace of God is in fact what you might call a parenthesis in the biblical timeline. As I read in Ephesians, let me go through and tell you that for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And then he asks a question. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. That's the revelation of the mystery. Now starts the parenthetical. If I were to skip the parenthetical there, I could go to verse 5, which says, in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That would make perfect sense if I were to skip the parentheses that start in verse 3, where Paul says that he wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So you see, we can take the parentheses out and the entire paragraph makes sense, but you insert the parentheses in there and it gives additional information. Such is the dispensation of the grace of God, a parenthetical timeline contained in the biblical timeline that inserted by God between prophetic timelines, and before the dispensation of the grace in which you and I currently reside came to be known by the revelation of the mystery given to the Apostle Paul, Israel was the only game in town. Israel, they were the only people that God dealt with. And there was, in fact, though, provision made for Gentiles who wanted to join the nation Israel. We read in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 55. We see the sisters of Sodom and her daughters. We see those of Samaria and all those of Syria. And we see the daughters of the Philistines, which despise round about thee. And thou hast borne the lewdness and thine abomination, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee, Israel, as thou hast done, which has despised the oath in breaking the covenant. You see, Israel had a covenant with God. That's why he dealt with them exclusively. And then God tells Israel that nevertheless, verse 60, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. So there is a covenant that's in place for those particular people. And the Gentile nations in the kingdom that is to be established will not be a part of Israel's covenant. They won't become a part of that. We find in verse 61, then shalt thou remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters. That's speaking of the Gentile nations, thine elder and thy younger. And I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. You see, they won't become a part of Israel's covenant. They will exist, they will subsist, but not as Israel. And God says, I will establish my covenant with thee, Israel, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Meanwhile, there were individual Gentiles. Do we not know that provision was in fact made for individual Gentiles to join up with the nation Israel and actually become a part of that nation? We read in Isaiah chapter 56, starting in verse 1, that thus saith the Lord, keep my judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keeping the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping my hand from doing any evil. So you see, there was works associated with it, doing the law, doing the keeping of the covenant. and let the son of the stranger, that would be the Gentile that wants to join up with Israel, that hath joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. So the Lord makes provision for them, and they become the sons of the stranger, and they join themselves to the Lord and serve him, and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. So you see, God makes provision for the individual Gentile who wants to become a part of Israel. And Gentiles then who become Israel back then in Isaiah, back there in Ezekiel, and now in Exodus, they become Israel. They must keep the laws of Israel. We read in Exodus chapter 12, along about verse 48, that when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. That would be the sign of Israel. That would be the sign of the covenant. And let him that come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof, and one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So you see, there are Gentiles that do in fact become Israel, and they have rules, they have covenants, they have laws at that point, and one of those would be no making offerings to idols. That under the law of Moses, we read in Leviticus chapter 17, starting in verse 7, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring, and shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, that would be the homeborn folks, the homeboys, or of the strangers, that's the Gentiles which want to become a part of Israel, the strangers which sojourn among you, they hath offered a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth not to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord. That would be a bad thing. They're taking that offering and sacrificing it to idols instead. Even that man shall be cut off from among his people. So there is one part of the law. There's also another part of the law that says, don't eat blood. I like my steaks medium, just oozing out blood, and then you take the white bread and you put it on there, soak up all the juice and the blood, eat that after the steak is gone. But that would not have been the law of Moses for Israel, because in Leviticus 17, starting in verse 10, I see that whosoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, those the Gentiles, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth the blood, and will cut him off from among the people. And so it goes. You see, they had to keep the law. They had to do the things that Israel were commanded to do under the law. So there was provision made, even under the Old Testament law, that for Gentiles to become a part of Israel via circumcision and the keeping of the Sabbath and the keeping of the law. James, you remember him. There's Peter, James, and John, disciples of the Lord, apostles of the church there at Jerusalem. And in Acts 15, verse 29, wouldn't you know, we see old James giving the exact same instructions that we find under the law of Moses, when he says that these Gentiles should abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. You see, James didn't know anything other than the law, because he was operating under the law. You see, if James then is under the law in Acts 15, most certainly he was under the law in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most certainly he was operating under the law in Acts 1 through 15, and we find confirmation of that legal status of the apostles and Jesus that was operating in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because the apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 4, 4, and 5 that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That would be Israel. That would be any of the Gentiles that were sojourning with Israel. But the problem now, during this, the dispensation of the grace of God, that Paul says, gee, haven't you ever heard of that before? Is that Israel has been blinded, that to the truth that Christ was the prophesied Messiah, that to the truth that Christ was the Son of God. You see, Romans 11:25, Paul says, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Here comes a part of the mystery information given to the Apostle Paul. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, that until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You see, we live in a time where Israel is no more under the covenant. They have no standing with God. No, they're not the only people that God is dealing with. God deals with you and me, separate and apart from Israel, and the people of Israel having no covenant standing before God, that during this particular parenthetical dispensation of the grace of God. Romans 11:11, Paul says, I say then, have they, Israel, stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So salvation, apart and separate from becoming a part of Israel, has in fact come to us. But through Israel being set aside, that for a time, that during this parenthesis, there's more of the paragraph. As you remember when I read Ephesians chapter 3, there was a paragraph, then there was parentheses, then the paragraph started back up again. Well, there's more prophetic paragraph to come after the dispensation of the grace of God comes to a conclusion, but for the time, Israel has been set aside during this dispensation, which makes salvation available to all, that not according to prophecy, not according to the Old Testament, not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but rather according to the revelation of the mystery that given to us during this, the dispensation of God's grace. Romans chapter 9:22 explains that what if God willing to show his wrath, and boy, he was too. You see, God, according to the prophetic program, was ready to take Israel right into the 7-year tribulation period, the testing of Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble, that culminating with the kingdom, all that according to prophecy. But Paul says, according to this parenthetical dispensation of grace, what if God, who was willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, those who didn't believe, those of Israel who had rejected their Messiah. Paul says, what if God is willing to put up with them and give them a second chance, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see, we don't preach Christ according to his earthly ministry, that to the nation Israel, we know that, but rather, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. the mystery information hidden since before the world began. No one had ever known about it. It was never revealed to any of the prophets prior to being given and revealed to the Apostle Paul. See, you see, Christ, he didn't come to the Gentiles. He came to Israel. He came to the Jews and had specific doctrines, specific instructions for them only. When asked, Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24 says, "I am sent not, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was the exact same people that the disciples were sent to in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, when Jesus sent the 12 forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and not into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You were not the target audience in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You were not the one who the prophesied Messiah had come to. If you stood on the street corner today and preached the same message that was given to the disciples to give to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, people would avoid you like the plague. They would think that you were some kind of homeless, wacko, vagrant that had just gone nuts. You know, the people that stand out there with the sandwich boards that say, "The world is coming to an end today." Those are the people that you cross the street and go around avoiding as much as possible. Well, that would be you if you were preaching the same message that was given to the 12 disciples, because their instruction in Matthew 10:7 was, "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." You would think that you were on an episode of the Benny Hinn Show. "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses." In other words, if you don't have any money, don't worry about it. Be a vagrant. Be homeless. Don't take your coat with you. Don't wear your shoes. Don't take anything at all, because if you're not worthy to get it from other people, you shouldn't be out there. But people would avoid you like the plague, would they not? They'd think that you had gone absolutely nuts. But that is the message given to the 12 disciples to preach to the nation Israel. The message is not for this dispensation. The message is different. We are to work. We are not to just count on everybody else. We're not to have an empty purse. We're not to go shoeless and coatless. Rather, our instruction is, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's different, is it not? The message that we have been given to preach on the street corner, to give to other people, to hold that sandwich board, is forgiveness of all our sins through Christ's payment, that on the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul tells us, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself." You see, nobody knew that we would have forgiveness of sin according to the mystery of his will. No one knew that the Gentiles would be forgiven of their sin. Everybody knew that Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Everybody that believed anyway, the Jews that had not rejected their Messiah, they did not know anything about the mystery information, because just as prophecy information for Israel does not apply to you and I in this mystery dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery information given to the Apostle Paul did not apply to Israel. It only applies to the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's you and me. You see, the Apostle Paul alone was given the mystery information that the Gentiles and then unbelieving Israel, who had rejected their Messiah, they were set aside from the prophetic program that so they could have salvation apart from the nation Israel, according to the prophetic program. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul tells us that he is made a minister not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not according to the Beatitudes, not according to the Sermon on the Mount, not according to Jesus' earthly ministry. All those things are there for our edification, for our spiritual enlightenment, but not according to our doctrine. They're not specific instruction given to us, the church, the body of Christ. Colossians 1:25, Paul is made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. The but now was not until years after the Lord had gone to the cross. Nobody knew that Gentiles would get salvation apart from Israel, that by grace through faith alone, without having to endure circumcision, without having to keep the commandments in the holy days, without having to abstain from blood and all those things. God, Paul says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Israel prayed that God would be near. We have so much better than God being near. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that you become bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh? You become members of his body. That's more than near, my friends. That's a part of the very body of Christ. Understanding then the difference that comes between prophecy and mystery, understanding those things, what a comfort it is to the believer, having full assurance of knowledge that God has put certain things in place for us today, that not everything in the Bible is written directly to us. It's all there for our understanding. We are at this very moment studying Genesis chapter 1, the creation week, and finding out exactly what God did during that time. What a wonderful study that is. But I don't believe that any of those things are my doctrines. I don't believe that after Adam and Eve were placed in the garden that I was to go about naked. I don't believe for a moment that when Noah was commanded to build an ark, that was instruction for me. You see, certain people are given instruction in your Bible that don't apply to me. I, as a father of five, I have kids of various ages, and if I were to tell, let's say the 21-year-old, if he were to go out and do something and I were to just say, well, make sure you don't drink and drive, make sure your friends don't drink and drive, that would be specific instruction for him and his friends. I would hope they wouldn't drink in the first place, but certainly not drink and drive. But let's say the 14-year-old was standing beside when I gave those instructions. Those would not be specific instructions for the 14-year-old because, you see, the 14-year-old cannot drive and certainly is not of legal age to drink at the same time. So there could be benefit. The 14-year-old could say, hey, that might be a good idea. Get spiritual enlightenment, but certainly not doctrinal instruction. That is not specific instruction for someone that is unable to drive in the first place. That's the difference between the instruction given by prophecy and the instruction given via mystery given to us by the Apostle Paul. Understanding those things, wow, it leads to all kinds of knowledge and all kinds of full assurance, knowing that God has put certain things in place for us today. Colossians 2:2, Paul prays that our hearts might be comforted, knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you don't know the difference between mystery and prophecy, you need to learn how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, where we preach Christ crucified according to the revelation of the mystery, where we preach Pauline doctrine that according to the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to us Gentiles. Meet us at 313 South Jefferson Street every Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Check out the website www.wonderfulgrace.org, and thank you for listening.